責めないで削らないで負けないで誰だ。This is the Otaku in Review podcast. I'm Scott Spaziani from Otaku in Review.
I'm Shannon, aka Perfect Serenade.
And I'm Michael Camacho of G-Nitro.com. This is episode 219, recorded on July 7th, 2021.
Valak Brawl Peninsula. Michael.
Yes.
Shannon.
Hello. I was going to say, you always say Mike first. I'm never first.
No, he usually
That's
says
not true.
You
there
all
was a
the
long
time.
Stretch.
No, he always talks long... to you and ignores me for like at least 5 minutes of the beginning
yeah,
of the show.
Yeah, okay. This is actually true.
Yeah, that is 100% true. How's everybody doing? I this is a very exciting day because this is the day we pivot. Our format,
oh,
and
no.
I'm very thrilled. I'm very thrilled to do it. I think that you know, when we started reactivated this podcast over a year ago. Holy shit, we have no life. When we reactivated this podcast, I think that what we decided was what the world needs is people in their 30s
and 40s.
To early 40s. Talking about Japanese cartoons, mostly isekai. I'm not sure who to blame on that one, but I think that what people truly need now in the year 2021, in the summer, is we are going to become a podcast where we just release an hour-long PSA that you should get your fucking vaccine, because stop being a dipshit.
But we don't have to.
Why don't we have to?
Didn't you see... Juvenile remade his song Back That Ass Up with Get That Vax.
Oh my god, Vax That Ass Up?
Yep.
I haven't seen it yet.
I put
saw
it in the
earlier.
Music channel. It's called Vax That Thing Up.
Oh, Vax That Thing Up.
And it features
okay.
Manny Fresh and Mia X. And it's
oh
kind of
god.
Amazing. Because the good thing about it is they actually got them to do it and not like some shitty parody of like YouTube proportions when they had a bunch of white people doing K-pop where everybody was like, yo, stop.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty amazing. Yeah, I'm gonna have to check that out. I've just had like a really crazy day. It's on my list.
Yeah.
That okay. That sounds like it's gonna do a lot of good in the world. Probably a lot more good than we can
it's
do. So I guess we can go back to talking about cartoons.
It's meant for New Orleans area, especially trying to get that community.
Well, as everyone predicted, of course, that the Delta variant is ripping through red states, starting with Missouri. So the three people who live there are probably going to die from it. But...
No, that sounds good.
In civilized areas... civilized areas, we should be fine. Of course, that's... Until I had a conversation with my partner when she returned home from work today, and she told me that several of her coworkers were vehemently against only getting the vaccine, but mandating the vaccine for things like, you know... returning to school or stuff like that, you know, things that involve being in close proximity
right.
to many smelly, gross human beings.
Yeah, I am
so
glad
we still have a lot of work to do.
My immediate office coworkers all got vaccinated. We all went and got that shit done ASAP.
That is, I know there are people who I work with who have resisted. Just because I know, you can pinpoint.
And you work
them.
On medical but, equipment, which is really fucking terrible.
Well, Brittany works at a veterinary office.
Oh my god!
So, those are they're medical people. It's all a bunch of nonsense.
Ugh, I hate people so much.
It's real bad. So
I told my
mom
I'm not burying her if she dies from COVID.
Did your mom not get the vaccine?
I said, I'm not going to be involved with her funeral.
She's not getting the vaccine?
Nope. I told her I'm not going to be involved with her or my sister's funeral. I'm not doing it. You're not putting me through that stress because you wanted to be there. Lauren, my sister, who also is not vaccinated, can deal with all of it.
Oof.
Yeah.
I hate
Luckily,
to be
I
mean,
don't...
but I'm fed the fuck up.
I have not personally interacted with anyone in my family or outside that has like been vehemently against it. Though I have heard a lot of horror stories of of coworkers. Although one of my coworkers who wants to get the vaccine says his wife keeps talking him out of it. Mm-hmm. His wife is against it, despite the fact that his wife made appointments for her parents. And
interesting.
To get it is interesting because there's certainly an acknowledgement there that the vulnerable people should get it, but not, you know, not me.
Yeah. Like, we've already all decided not to go to Otakon, and I'm not going to any other cons, but it's funny, like, a lot of our friends, because the big DC Beer Festival for craft beer just opened up for their event for October, and everybody's like, you going? And I'm like, I thought about it for a brief second, and I said, wait, being around thousands of drunk people? I don't care if it's even outside. I'm not doing it. That's a bad recipe for spreading.
Well, so here's something interesting about October. So as of June 20th, Germany has started to accept vaccinated Americans.
Nice.
So, you know, I don't know if I've talked, I'm sure I've talked about this before, but Adam and I, my husband and I, we've had a trip to Germany planned for, I would say, nearly a year and a half, 2 years now. And it was ruined by COVID. And unfortunately, it's one of those non-refundable airline tickets. And yeah, it's a lot of money. So we've had to continuously put this trip off, I think, 3 or 4 times at this point. So as of right now, we're still going.
Yeah.
It really depends on what's happening in Germany at the time, you know, obviously with the Delta variant, and they're trying to get as many people vaccinated as they possibly can. You know, even if we have to wear a mask the entire time, I am totally okay with that. If we can't go to places like we wanted to go, I'm fine with that. I will hang around Munich for a whole entire week. I do not care. So, you know, I've traveled already in the pandemic, and I'm okay with it. You know, I still wear my mask. I still do what I need to do. And that's that. You know,
I'm
vaccinated.
No, I got no problem, like, traveling. It's just thousands of people around me is where I get to the point where I'm like, I have no problem going out to bars and stuff, but you're telling me I'm going to be in an area, even though it's outside, it's all closed in. You can only go so far within there before you have to leave. And I'm like,
right.
I don't want to be that close to all these people. Like, because the Delta variant, I could still get it and get or have another, I don't know, my eye could flare up again or another long-term, less severe thing I have to deal with. And so my attitude is, I don't need to put myself in those situations. You have a ticket to use, but you're also traveling. You're going to be around a limited amount of people on the plane, and then you're going to be in a country visiting, but it's like going out here.
Right.
So
my thing
is, and
I mean, they're more strict over there, from what I've been reading.
I don't want to be around thousands of people. And I know I can get the VIP pass and get 2 hours without the general public, but they're going to come swarming in at the same time. And I'm just like, it's not. I don't know how the people serving beer are going to be, and people are all standing in those tents, and I'm just like, I'm good. I just don't trust
it. Right.
So.
No, I don't blame you.
Because I don't mind going out. I mean, you and I are hanging out this Saturday, so.
Yeah.
So, it's all good. I like going out to eat now.
You want to come hang out with us, Scott?
Yep. We're going for a place that serves Japanese and Korean food.
That sounds perfect, but that's also how the Rona gets you.
You can get bibimbap and ramen at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, but I got to be a little cautious because there's no way in fucking hell I'm getting that vaccine. I'm not putting that in my body. Anyway, Mike, you got some stuff listed here. I'm finishing Mass Effect 2 for the first time ever.
Second time. So I've been playing through the Legendary Edition. I've on Mass Effect 2. I have stopped at the last mission. So the first time I played through, I did lose one crew member, Morden,
scientist.
Yeah. But I sucked it up and accepted it instead of replaying like some people have told me they did, because the first time I played through Mass Effect, I kind of just lived with all the consequences. This time I'm going in with a guide of who I need to put where. I'm not trying to lose anybody. So I'm taking it. The approach to Mass Effect this time has been a lot different also. The first time I played through the entire series, I was just like, Paragon, 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 and maybe every once in a while a Renegade action. This time, I played mostly Paragon, Until in the first game, the council betrays you, and then I've been, like, kind of on the other side of being like, I'm still fucking pissed. Screw you. Like, if I have a chance to be renegade and it's not downright evil, I'll probably do it. Because I let, like, I'll stop people from killing people when I think it'll be weigh on their conscience, but at one point, Garrus shoots a guy on his loyalty mission. I'm like, nah, you can do it. I don't care. Like, shoots him in the leg.
Garrus.
Yeah, I'm like, go for it. I don't care. He deserves it.
He gets a free pass for being perfect.
Absolutely.
I am much more about if you deserve it in Mass Effect now, I don't care. It's not like my first playthrough where I was just this good, angelic character. I've been like, nope. I have a vendetta.
Fuck them kids.
At times.
Fuck them kids.
Yeah.
Well, there is talk that, there's statistics like nearly 80% of people did a full Paragon run through.
Because the problem with full Renegade, you're fucking evil, man. But you can't, I don't know how, I tried once and I was like, I can't do this. This is fucking rude and you would have nobody left on your crew. And I also won't do anything Renegade that affects Tali because she is true angel.
Yeah, you can't do that.
No, I can't. I can't do it. Like, every time I'm like, nope. Because I've seen on YouTube her suicide sequence, and I was like, if that ever happens in the game, I will shut that shit off and never touch Mass Effect again. Because when I was playing through 3, somebody told me that it happened, and I went, wait, she did what?
Oh my gosh.
And I went
and
watched
it.
I just watched it on YouTube, and I fucking cried. I was like, I fucking cried. I honestly want to play through as Male Shepherd, just to romance Tali, but I can't stand that voice actor enough to do it.
Isn't it somebody famous, though?
No. I mean, he might be a famous voice actor. But it's not like Nolan North or anybody like that. But, no, it's not like the voice actor for Femship, Jennifer Hale.
Oh, yeah, she was really great.
Yeah.
She's the only one I played when I played through.
Yeah, I can't play it. I tried to play as the male once, and I don't know. He annoys me, and I don't like the character design much. I will say that's the one thing. If you make your own character, Shepard still does not look good in the game. If you change up anything from the base model.
It's very Uncanny Valley, like kind of like a mannequin, almost like just staring into your soul.
Yeah, while everybody else looks really good in the touch-up, if you play as the base Femship, coming into the second game at least, it looks good. But I changed it back up to try to make it a little bit more like my first one, and I was like, oh, I fucked this up. And I was just like, whatever.
Yeah, I don't know. Unless you really work at those
I really think
designers, they look bad.
Saints Row did probably the best job because their sliders are very detailed. You can really fuck up your character in Saints Row, but you can also make some decent looking characters in that the way their character models are.
Hey, hashtag no metal sliders.
But other than that, 2 days ago, my older dog turned 16.
No, puppy.
And it was funny because I was like, well, he's officially old. And today I went and batted at his paw and he went to like play bite and was jumping around with me. And I was like, oh, please keep staying like this.
He's still young at heart.
He is. He tries.
Poor Tucker.
Yeah, but I've noticed in the morning a lot, he doesn't eat his breakfast as much. He usually doesn't have that problem in the afternoon, but coming out of his sleep and waking up before I go to work. So I usually just, the meal I make for him, I put back into like a jar or container and then give him a little bit more at night when I get home. But yeah, I notice things. It just sucks.
Yeah, it's definitely rough.
Not to mention the tumor that's probably on his back, but I'm not putting him under anesthesia again.
No, not at his age. Definitely not at his age.
Nope. He came out the last time, not great. And I'm like, he's only going to be worse. And it's right where his legs are already having issues. And it's right on top, right at his hips. Mm-hmm. I'm like, there's no way. He's not going to come out of this okay.
No.
Because if he comes out with bad legs, even worse than they are, they're probably going to be like, well, we recommend. Nope. I don't want to hear it because he had surgery that he needs to then be put down because he can't walk.
Mm-hmm.
You still got to pay for that surgery if something goes wrong.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's not like you get a refund because they screwed up.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. My stepmom keeps arguing with me, and I'm like, there's no way, I can't do it. I'm like, then you pay for it and everything else that happens after. But I'm not going to bankrupt myself for a dog at end of life. I would do it if Tucker was like 4 or 5 and needed like chemo and stuff. I would take the chance. At 16, he probably wouldn't survive.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah. But other than that, yeah. That's really it for me. And one quick side note. Last night I was walking my younger dog because Tucker was passed out. And we'd come across this hill. And on the path, I thought it was two other dogs that were just roaming around. They're kind of staring at me. And I'm like, what the hell? I was like, where's the owner? These dogs are just sitting there looking at us. And I realized it's two foxes. And one of them kind of runs into the woods. And the other just has a stare down with my younger dog just... staring each other down.
Waiting to see what she does.
Yeah. And then a lady came around the corner with her dog. And I saw her leash up her dog when she noticed there was somebody else on the path. So I let her know. I was like, hey, there's a couple foxes down there. Because I didn't want her to take her dog back off leash and have it chase them into the woods. So.
Can foxes take out a dog?
No. It's more just having the dog take off. And you can't stop it because it's chasing an animal.
And obviously rabies and stuff.
Yeah, but you'll know. They're not going to be sitting there watching your dogs if they have rabies. They'd be way more aggressive.
Yeah, probably not. But
the foxes, there's always been foxes in my neighborhood. They'll come up within 10 feet, sit there and watch us. When I'm out on walks sometimes at night.
Yeah, the important question, though, is what do they say?
They scream. Fucking first time I ever heard one, I thought a lady was being raped outside, and I was looking around trying to figure out what the fuck was going on.
Yeah, they're just screaming at the top of their lungs.
Yeah, and then I saw it like scream one night. My eyes adjusted enough that I saw the eyes, and I looked over, and I could see the mouth opening and the whale come out of it, and I'm like, Jesus fucking Christ.
Yeah, why? What nightmare creature has got?
It sounds like a banshee screaming.
That kind of noise.
And I hear it every once in a while around here. Usually, a lot of times, mothers will do that to keep other predators away from their kits if they have young ones.
I bet it works really well.
Yep.
Shannon, you're in some kind of Department of Motor Vehicles anime club?
Hell yeah, I am. So, there was something on Twitter a while back, one of my mutual Twitter friends, she's part of this like Florida anime group, and I guess... there's an overarching national anime club group, and she pointed me to the one that's located here in the DMV, not the Department of Motor Vehicles, but the DC, Maryland, Virginia area. And it's apparently like a really legit club. They go and like hang out, they go to dinners, they do fun activities. So I joined this club,
and I got no
invite, so good. Well, there's actually like $5 a month dues that you have to pay because it does take care of a lot of things, and like they'll have like cookouts and stuff. So I'm just kind of like seeing what it's like and seeing, you know, if it's worth it. If, you know, if I go to like, because like right now there's like the girls, they're planning like a ladies' night, and I hadn't had a ladies' night and I can't tell you how long. So, you know, I'll go to it, see what it's like, see if it's, you know, worth sticking around, continuing to pay the $5 dues. So far, like I said, it seems pretty good. People seem really active, really friendly. So yeah, we'll see how that goes. The other thing I had going on, to my surprise and my honor, Tapas actually featured my webcomic last Monday. Not this past Monday, but the previous Monday, which is pretty amazing. So they reached out to me a while back about, I mean, I would say like a month and a half, almost 2 months ago, about creating a banner for the website. I wasn't quite sure what they were going to do with it, but it went up last Monday, and it was up for pretty much a whole day, and I got a lot of interaction out of it, which was really, really cool to see. So, and I've been working on this damn webcomic for 2 years, and it's like the first time it's ever been featured anywhere. So I was really excited about that. That was a lot of fun, and I would say 400 subscribers out of it, and I think for all of June I had 40,000 views, which honestly is really good considering. Baby, it's the sky. Sky's the limit at this point.
That's freaking awesome, though.
So, yeah,
I'm so excited for you. Like, I can only imagine. Like,
it felt good. Like, it felt so good to finally be like recognized.
How big of a bump did you get?
I had a pretty huge bump. So, the one thing that I really like about Tapas over Webtoon is that Tapas has a lot of really good metrics that you can kind of see and look at. So, I think the day that it was featured, I had almost 6,000 views, and I got, like I said, I've got quite a few subscribers out of it. I mean, my subscriber list jumped, like, 300-400 just in, like, a day and a half, 2 days, which was great. So, you know, I'm really happy with it, and I'm constantly showing up on, like, the popular free-to-read section, I guess, of the website when you search for it. I'm still trying to gain traction on Webtoon. That shit is so hard. But Tapas is really great. Tapas is treating me really well. My readers are great. I have no complaints about it.
Nice.
So right now I'm sitting on Tapas at 3,679 subscribers, and I think I've got like 675 on Webtoon, and then on Webcomics app I think I have like another like 3,000 or something. So it's going pretty well, I think. But yeah, so that's kind of what I've got going on.
Yeah, that's very exciting.
Yeah, I'm super happy. Like, that's just...
Well, thank you.
I wish my blog would get even 5 more readers.
Well, you gotta do a BL blog, baby.
Yeah. I need to start yaoi K-pop.
You need to start the yaoi K-pop blog.
Yeah. Yaoi K-pop.
God, it would just be
web comic.
It would be a bunch of fanfics about boy band members. No, thank you.
Pretty much.
I mean, that would be popular.
Yes,
it would be very popular.
I'm okay. I want to spread the love of the music, not boy on boy action.
Well, I mean, and that's the thing. Like, I joke, like, oh yeah, I do a BL, but it's like, it's not like your typical BL, you know, because yeah. I really don't like it when, you know, women in particular fetishize, you know, male love.
Yeah.
You know, I it makes me uncomfortable. I feel like it's, I don't know. I just don't like when that happens, especially when it gets overly sexualized. And boy, I will talk about that when I talk about Dick Fine Island today. But
Scott looks so happy to finally hear about this.
Yeah.
Now,
so,
I feel the
anyway.
Same way about like Yuri and girl on girl love. Mm-hmm. So I was one of those typical dudes like girl on girl, that's sexy as hell. Until your roommate's a lesbian and her girlfriend's over all the time and you realize this, it's not that attractive.
It's just like
two people
every...
in love. And I don't mean that as like a negative. It's like you wake up and realize it's just two people in love. Like, what the fuck was I thinking about? Like, both girls were attractive too. So I can't sit here and be like, it wasn't about like them not being attractive. Both girls, very attractive. I just saw it so much. It was like desensitized. And I was like, wow, that was really stupid of me all those years thinking that this was just here to be fetishized.
So they destroyed your fetish.
No.
Reality destroyed your fetish.
I don't like to say the term destroyed. I would say more made me understand reality.
So if we can just get all the hikikomori in Japan a stepsister, we can destroy that genre of anime.
I've played stuff that are very yuri and adult in when it comes to the hentai games, and most of them are not the hardcore nuki gay type stuff. Like the what's that series? Maidens of Michael or whatever it's called. Flower of Petals, I think it is. I'm probably getting that wrong off the top of my head. Where it's more like cutesy and girls in love, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I play a lot of Yuri. Visual novels and stuff. I prefer when it's like pure stuff, though. Like girls actually.
Yeah, when
love
it's just when it's just a love story, yeah. You know, it's that's pretty much all it is. It's just a love story. Scott, did you just turn? I was gonna say, did you just turn your mic off?
Okay. Yep.
I turn it on and off all the time, so I can mumble under my breath about how Mike is
better than you because I actually watch anime now.
I believe Scott just said Mike is a fantastic person. I think he just mumbled that. Mike is a fantastic person.
You know what? I can't prove or disprove it. Mm.
So what about you?
Oh, my life has not been exciting.
No.
No.
Can move on.
You didn't go anywhere or do anything recently?
No.
No?
No, I just sit in my house. I was on the road, but it was only to drop someone off.
Oh, okay.
Who stayed over the weekend?
Stalking you on a Swarm.
Wasn't anything too exciting, but I do play a lot of video games.
Yes, you do. A lot of bad
ones. That's not possible.
You still playing those Finals of Fantasies?
I still play those Finals of Fantasies. The one I finished a game called V11 Hall A Cyberpunk Bartending
Valhalla?
Action is the name of it. Yeah, so it's they call the bar in the game Valhalla because of the way those words.
Yeah, that's
work.
I haven't played it myself. I watched somebody play it. It's on my two playlists, as a lot of games are in my backlog right now that I own.
Have either one of you heard of a game called Chivalry 2?
Yes.
Chivalry 2?
Like
Chivalry
yes.
2. Oh my god, Adam is like obsessed with it.
Did not like it.
And I'm watching it, I watch him play, and it's just basically a bunch of medieval knights and people just running around hacking each other up. It's just like one big team deathmatch or individual deathmatch.
Our guest from a few weeks ago, or a few episodes ago, Matt, before, I did not enjoy it.
No?
No.
It seems pretty funny if you ask me, but
I'm too competitive.
Yeah, a friend of mine plays a similar one called Mood How, which is a similar, but an indie variant of it.
Gotcha.
But yeah, Valhalla, super. It's ultimately like a super weird game. Like the story is like really passive. Basically, you're dealing with like this main character's like everyday like life and their anxieties and their drama. And the gameplay is very simple because you just mix drinks based on these five like fake chemicals in this like post, you know, this cyberpunk dystopia.
Great soundtrack.
It's a great soundtrack, and it's like a kind of just a really chill game. You know, I mean, it has a bunch of cyberpunk tropes that are really cool. You know, like it's, you know, you talk to, you know, like they call them Lilum, but the, you know, robot beings who are in different stages of autonomy, including one that's a sex worker. You know, some of them that are in relationships with normal humans. And, you know, it can also get really silly because one of the main customers that comes in is just a dog.
Oh, yeah, yeah. A little corgi
with a cowboy hat and sunglasses.
Have you?
So certainly, I think, you know, go ahead.
Did you really like that game?
I thought it was pretty good, yeah. Like, I thought it was a little weird.
There's another similar game out there now
liked it.
Called Coffee Talk. Very similar.
Coffee Talk.
Another great lo-fi soundtrack. Great lo-fi soundtrack. Lo-fi chill hop soundtrack.
Coffee Talk. Yeah, it does actually look... It looks very similar. Yeah, where you're mostly getting the story through your conversations with these interesting characters.
I mean, it kind of takes a look at the life... I mean, it's more cyberpunk, yeah. But, like, just the life of somebody who... In the service industry, but a bartender where clients come in and start talking, you see they become regulars. Like, it's kind of an interesting view through their eyes. I'd like to play it. I've watched somebody play through most of it, so I know a decent amount of the story.
Yeah.
But I'd like to play it myself.
And there's also
sorry.
Yeah, there's also some pretty drastic events that happen. You know, like one of the police force basically gets completely disbanded halfway through. There's a period where you have to sleep in the bar because you're afraid of going home. It's, you know, so it's there's definitely some drama and some tension associated with it, but it's essentially just a straight visual novel otherwise. Aside from that, I'm about to beat the new Yakuza game, but I'll talk about that more in a different episode because, yeah, that's essentially an anime or J-drama in a video game. PC.
Through the Xbox Pass?
Oh, no, I bought it on Steam.
Oh. You should just pay for the $15 a month Xbox Pass.
Well, I mean, Brittany bought it when it first came out, and then it was too late at that point.
Because I think that went day one on there.
I think it did go day one on there.
Which is
crazy. And I've already used up my dollar subscription on that.
It's crazy to me that they're doing this. Like, I'm like, I don't even have to buy some of these games now. Like, I have it good through May of next year, and I only paid a dollar for 3 years worth.
Oh my God.
Well, so there's a... Games for Grunts was a thing where, as a veteran, I could get free subs for, at the time, just normal Game Pass and Xbox Live. When they decided to combine it, they were like, you can combine up to 3 years worth for $1. I was like, I didn't pay for this 3 years, so let's go. I got 3 years worth of Game Pass Ultimate for $1. I was like, wow, this really worked out. But the next Forza Horizon game comes out in November. Because it's Microsoft, it's day one. I do not have to buy it unless I want to go for the Ultimate Pack.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. Yeah.
PC's got a good library now too, as well. So for $15, you can usually find some pretty, hyped up games. Like Streets of Rage 4 was on there pretty much immediately.
Because the only question is if one day they start removing games.
Oh,
but I don't know how that's going to work.
Games do get removed. But they give you a heads up. It's not like random. They'll literally tell you usually at the beginning of the month, like, hey, at this date, it's gone. So you get time to finish it up. Because that happened a game. I could not finish it in time. I was trying Indivisible. I was trying to beat time, but I couldn't. So. But yeah.
Okay. Makes sense. But yeah, so that's mostly me playing video games. No speed running records to report, but I'll keep trying. Let's talk about cartoons.
And one ridiculous named manga.
Oh, well, we gotta hold off Dick Fight Island for last, right?
Do we? Or should I go first?
I think we should build it up and make people wait for it.
Okay, well, I've got two things to talk about. So I got Dick Fight Island and the game that I've been playing.
What game have you been playing?
Let's go with that.
Okay. So, in my webcomic, my main characters are the Princes of Hell. And they're pretty common, like, demon names. Like, if you read about classifications of demons, I mean, it's not, you know, not uncommon names. So there's, like, Mammon, Belphegor, Asmodeus, and so on and so forth. Well, in 2019, there was a game that came out, a mobile game. It's kind of like an otome game, but it's like a mix of like a card game and an otome game called Obey Me. And basically what it is you, a girl, are going into the devildom. And your goal is to basically make a pact with the demon princes, who are also named similarly to my characters. So when I came out with my comic, mind you, I wrote this shit over 20 years ago. People were like, oh, well, you have names just like this game. And I checked it out and I was like, oh, this looks really stupid. Like, I hope people don't compare my comic to whoever these demons are in this game. And it got brought up so often that I was like, fuck it. I'm just going to see what this shit's about. And I gotta tell you, I'm kind of obsessed. So it's a mobile game, and I would be lying if I said that I didn't put real life money into this game. And I'm not gonna tell you. I'm not gonna tell you how much.
Do it. $300 a week. I've been there.
So, I'm actually really enjoying it. Like, I thought it was just like a straight up like dating sim, but there's actually technical, you know, card build ups. Like, you have to like build your cards up and build like your skill level and everything. And obviously, there's the storyline behind it, and it's very PG. It's very PG. And it's just really fun. It's a cute game. It's a time waster. And I think I'm going to keep playing. I'm not putting any more of my actual money into it. But I am going to keep playing.
That's what I always say.
Maybe a little bit here and there. But like I said, I'm going to keep playing it. And I really like it. I think it's really cute. And it's not usually my cup of tea, these types of games. Especially mobile games. I really never could get into like mobile games, but so yeah, I like it.
I got a couple mobile games I'm hooked on, not including Pokemon Go because I've been playing that since the beginning.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, I got a couple. I got into that Azure Lane game, which is where the girls are basically battleships. Yeah, I got hooked.
I'm sorry.
On that.
What?
Yeah. The girls are basically battleships, so
okay.
They're cute girls that have, like, you go into battle with them, and they have, like, battleship moves, and there's kind of, like, some of the guns sitting around them in a sense. So, it's kind of ridiculous, but I'm
the look on Scott's face right now.
I love it. I can't help it.
I'm scrolling through the website of Obey Me,
okay.
I think I am seeing what... Why are you spending money on this game?
Why?
For Beelzebub, obviously.
Actually, no. My favorite in the game is Belphegor, which is kind of funny because Belphegor is one of my favorite original characters in my webcomic. But they all have, like, so this one particularly, this game in particular, they really focus on kind of like each demon has its own kind of parallel to the seven deadly sins. And they really, really, really play on that in this game. And I don't really focus a whole lot on that in my comic. But it's still kind of fun. But in a way, it's a little annoying in the game. Because when you're trying to have a conversation with, like, for instance, Beelzebub, all he can talk about is how he's hungry. And it kind of gets annoying to a point when it's, like, happening every single conversation. So I kind of wish... that would be curved a little bit, and like the further in the story you get, the better that gets, but still that's like one of the most annoying parts about the game.
Yeah, I know the listeners can't hear me, but if you want to look at my screen.
Oh well, that's fun.
Yeah.
She's got like tanks and shit.
Yeah,
on
it's
her.
Basically like the anti-air guns on.
Oh, fantastic.
Yep.
She's this cute little girl in a skirt with some black tights and some big ass guns around her. That's anime, baby.
Wait, hold on.
I like...
Like this one?
I genuinely enjoy...
How about this one? The submarine?
Yep.
You loving this game. It's fun. Makes me want to watch the anime, which I hear is terrible.
Well, that's funny because Obey Me is apparently getting an anime. So...
Oh, they all
will.
At some
probably
point.
Will. I probably will end up watching that at some point.
I feel you. I've been known to watch anime.
Those guys... What have you been watching, Mike?
So I'm not going to go into...
If you're going to brag so
hard... So I'm not going to go into a lot of detail...
About all these cartoons you
so
watch.
So I'm not going to go into a lot of detail about any of these shows because they're all spring season and I don't want to spoil anything major for people. But I finished Don't Toy With Me, Nagatoro-san. I really enjoyed this show at the beginning, and I started realizing I was worried about this show because I was like, if I get behind on this show, I don't think I want to watch more than like an episode or two because Nagatoro can come off as grating with the way the bullying sometimes comes off. And I say bullying with quotes. I can't remember if I said this during our preview show, but it's very clear that Nagatoro's bullying of the main male protagonist, Senpai, as he's known as, is mostly because she is socially awkward when trying to express her interest in him. So she does these things to torment him, and anytime something happens where it kind of turns into it's obvious she likes him, she completely freaks out and usually will like run away or try to change the subject around. So it comes obvious real quickly when a lot of people are like, this is bullying, and I'm like, sure. I was like, but I think it's more socially awkward school kids, even though she's kind of like in the social group. But when it comes to terms of like romance and stuff, she don't know what to do. I was like, I saw it as that. And you see this even in real life where people don't know how to express their feelings and they do it in a very extreme way. Of course, this is anime, so it goes past the extreme of real life. So it does get a little out of control sometimes. I would say there was only one episode where I thought that went overboard. And it was a beach episode where with suntan lotion, and she eventually started like stepping on him and crushing his back. And I was just like, okay, this is a little much. It might also be I am very anti feet, and I was like, please stop showing this shit. But I don't care if they're animated feet. I don't want to fucking see that shit. But Nagatoro-san was great. I highly recommend this show. I think a lot of people enjoy it who are looking for something that's laugh out loud funny. Throwing in some romance. I really like the way it ended, especially with how, without spoiling it, things kind of turn around with the group of with the cast of characters and how things end up for them. That's all I'm going to say for that one, because saying anything more specific is going to give away how they end that show. But it was really well done, and I can see them. I think this only covers the first 4 or 5 volumes of the manga, so I'm not sure how far it goes into it. I haven't read the manga yet, but I hear the manga goes a little more ridiculous than the anime did. So, which I think is smart. The anime is going to reach a bigger audience. So I think it's smart to kind of tone back maybe some of the more extreme bullying, quote unquote. But I'll read it at some point. Really, I really enjoyed that show. I think it was probably tied for my number one show of spring. It's hard for me to pick between my 1 and 2, because my other show I really loved from the spring season was I've Been Killing Slimes for 300 Years and maxed out my level. I always worry about slice of life adaptations, because they don't always nail it. Especially also on top of it, it's an isekai slice of life adaptation. But the light novel series was basically about Azusa, who died to the Japanese salaryman grind, and gets resurrected and wants to live an easy life now and never die. So she's basically immortally in a 17, 18-year-old body. She'll never age. So she gets bored, starts killing slimes as she goes down to the local village, just kind of killing time. And next thing she knows, by the time the village guild at some point, years down the road, it's like 300 years later, things built up, say, do you want to check your level? Turns out she's maxed it out. And this starts the sequence of events where people seek her out because they want to challenge her or seek her help. So her life goes from pretty peaceful to not so peaceful, but not in a constant action way. It's just her life adds more entertainment and liveliness to it. I call this show a family harem, and not in an incestuous way.
You got me really scared. No, it's like, wait a minute.
You'll understand why I call it a family harem. She basically, everybody who starts coming into her life starts living in the house with her, and they become like a family.
Okay.
But they're all women. So it comes off like a harem, but it's more like, but they're all a family, even to the point where two slime spirits that show up as young girls basically see her as a mother figure, because she killed enough slimes that they appeared. If it wasn't for her, they wouldn't be alive. So she's basically like, she also has two daughters. So it's like this whole thing. They keep adding characters throughout the show. Like, once every other show, somebody else is added to the house. And they actually nailed the adaptation from the light novel really well. They didn't try to force too much in, to try to cram a bunch of stories in. And one thing, when I was talking to a friend of the show, Stu, he said something that I thought was interesting. He said, it's a show you watch, and it doesn't matter if it took place over 2 months or like a year. It doesn't matter. They did it, and there's no worry of missing out on something in the time. Like, it's just, it flows well that you don't know how much time has passed. They never talk about it, and it doesn't feel like that's a problem. I could see this definitely getting a second season. It was from a studio that really didn't have a lot under its wing, and I was super surprised at how well done it was. I definitely recommend it. There's really, outside of telling you what type of characters show up, there's really no spoiling to this show. It's slice of life. You'll come to expect most of it, but it's done really well in its own unique way. So, actually, I'd probably put
and
this...
And it's killing slimes, right?
Very briefly. Yeah, you bet. It's not really.
Well, then why is that?
It's part of the story. But... No, because she maxed out her level because she spent 300 years killing slimes.
And now she can just chill?
She's all powerful. She's known as the Witch of the Highlands. But yeah, I'd probably put that at number one, Nagatoro second. And then for the third show I finished was Pretty Boy Detective Club, which was in the spring preview, was a show Shannon dropped after episode one. It was Shaft, Shinbo, and the writer Nisio Eason behind the Monogatari series come together again, and I had to keep watching it because it's still just fucking gorgeous. Ah, I love Shinbo and Nisio Eason as a team. It's so good. And I'm going to say this now that I finish this. I will not continue the light novel series. The anime is that really? Much better. Because... I said this, as Nisio Eason, as good of a writer as he is, especially with the talking and dialogue, stuff like that, the banter, the problem with Pretty Boy Detective Club, there's not enough visuals in a light novel for it to come across through just descriptions. I don't think it ever hits properly. The only thing you get are little images at the beginning of the book and sometimes at the end of a book. Or on the cover of what the characters look like. With the anime, you get to continuously watch and see the characters on screen. And the way, because it's Shinbo and Shaft, and we know how well he does with visuals, he brought this to life in such a way that I was like, I don't want to read the light novels again. I'm good. Like, the anime is good enough for me. He nailed it. Knocked this one out.
I will say, it is very, very beautiful to look at.
And that doesn't stop. Like, that does not stop at any point. But there's a lot of lessons in this show for the main character, which is interesting, of finding acceptance and stuff. I just like the fact that they call her Scummy, and she calls herself Scummy, a scummy person all the way through, and how she'll always be a scummy person. And it's interesting on how they interpret that and stuff around them. And one thing, little spoiler, you see... the leader of the current detective's brother later on, who started the club, and how anti-club he is at that point. You realize this is very Chunibyo-like, that middle grade syndrome, and how the older brother's now in high school and refuses to really acknowledge anything from that time period of his life. He considers himself adult now and past that. So it kind of put a lot of things about this anime in perspective, and I thought it was really cool. So, I really liked it. That was my third favorite from this season. Out of the other shows I started, I don't know how many I would finish. But those were the three I felt compelled to finish from the season. So that's what I watched during the last few weeks while also getting another anime, because I watch more anime than Scott nowadays because I'm amazing.
You don't know me.
Oh, yeah? What'd you watch?
I watched the Odd Cab show.
I heard good.
Did you finish it?
You finished it?
Of course I finished it. I finished every anime I start.
Every anime you start? That's a lie. Nobody
pilot,
finishes every
candidate,
anime.
Candidate, pilot, start. Pilot, goddess, candidate. Did you ever
finish? He finished that, didn't he?
Oh, shit.
I'm working on it.
Oh, did you not finish? I thought you finished Candidate for Garbage.
Yeah, of course. Of course I finished it.
You're a liar.
I finished it twice. Just because I wanted to make sure that I could review it accurately.
I think 5 minutes in, every review would be accurate at that point. Of how
bad
it
gets
was.
Better around it gets better around episode 9.
Who the besides you? Who the fuck is sitting through?
It was a very popular show back
which
in the day,
which is crazy to me. Every anime after that must have been the greatest thing they've ever seen.
Yeah, I believe that.
Actually, I would say this. Hold on, real quick, before you go in. Everybody's that had their first anime be Candidate for Garbage, the anime they watched after has got to be their favorite anime of all time. I swear to God, that has to be the case. Because they must have gone from this absolute shit show to being like, what is this? And they've always considered their second anime to be the best anime ever.
No matter what it was. Really.
Yeah, exactly. It could be Naruto, and that's why they're a Naruto fan now.
Still better off.
Well, yeah. I'm not arguing that. I don't like Naruto, but I don't despise it as much as Candidate for Garbage.
So, let's talk about Odd Taxi, which is...
Taxi Cab Confections.
You know, based on a manga... That's actually still going, and it's actually a relatively new manga. It's in an imprint I've never heard. Well, a magazine I've never heard of, Superior Dalpana, which it's a seinen magazine. So that's pretty cool. I mean, it's not often we get a. There's not a ton of seinen anime getting made, but this is weird because actually the manga started January 15, 2021, so it's almost as if like the manga started and this project started at about the same time. So it is about a walrus, Otakawa-san, and he's a 41-year-old taxi driver walrus who was orphaned when he was in elementary school. And then he grew up based, so he essentially got a grant from what they describe as like a it's like a charity that helps orphans survive, and you know they gave him the money to live. He was able to, you know, pay for a room and with a nice old lady who he still lives with in like a almost like a boarding house. He doesn't live in much space. It's like the upstairs apartment of this house. And he does not want for much. And in fact, most of his money he tries to pay back the people who helped him throughout his life. He kind of just drifts through life and does his job and kind of observes people. And his job puts him at the center of a kind of massive Yakuza scheme. But so the first episode starts off it's the mystery begins at.
Are you spoiling the show, by the way? Because it's new.
No, okay. I'm not spoiling the show. Yeah, it starts off where there's a missing teenage girl, high school girl. And they're trying to find out where she is, and it's the police and a producer for an idol group and member of the Yakuza all come to Odakawa and ask for his the SD card from his dash cam, because he's got a dash cam that faces inside the car. And so there's multiple groups with multiple different motivations that are looking for whatever is on this dash cam, because they believe that this teenage girl was last seen in Odakawa's cab. And Odakawa does not dispute this fact, but he also doesn't have a clear memory of it. And he kind of starts to like play these sides against each other. The Yakuza group is mainly with a baboon whose name is, I'm going to get it wrong, the name of the baboon is, I'm looking at the character list, Dobu. And Dobu is, he is wanted because he has recently been committing crimes with a handgun, which in Japan is actually kind of a huge deal. So he's been committing crimes with a handgun. The police have sent out some wanted stuff for him. Is a member of a Yakuza group and is trying to kind of outdo his rival and raise more money than him. And he's after this dash cam data for a questionable reason, but the story kind of starts to involve everyone when Odakawa stops. He lets this kind of sad college kid into his taxi, and the college kid is desperately looking for one of his tweets to go viral. And so, you know, he's talking to Odakawa saying, like, I need to make this viral tweet. I need to be famous. And Odakawa is just like, that's bullshit, man. That doesn't mean anything. Why do you even care? And so he takes a picture with Odakawa, makes up like a nice story of his interaction with the cab driver. And the photo goes viral, not because of the contents of the tweet, but because in the background is this criminal, Dobu. And so that brings Odakawa and Dobu together, and he starts working with him, literally, you know, paying for the taxi service, but also kind of he starts to involve him in his schemes. And Odakawa the whole time is really, his main goal is to bust Dobu and send him to prison, make sure the police catch him red-handed. So really, I've heard it described as like an anime noir mystery, because it's like there's so many characters involved, and it just kind of goes deeper and deeper, and all of them have these interweaving story that all come to this one kind of massive conclusion in the final episode, where they, you know, all the stories get summarized really quickly and nice. But it's also kind of nice to see like an anime about middle-aged people struggling. So, you know, like Odakawa has this friend who is a janitor who the only thing he wants is to fall in love. And he starts going out with this girl, and he only is going out with her because he added a couple zeros to his monthly income on this dating app. So he has to, you know, make up that he has all this money and takes her to fancy restaurants, and then ends up getting entangled in everything because he borrows money from the Yakuza. And everything turns out to be a massive disaster. The one thing that really like becomes like the trigger for the story like getting seriously like dangerous and upsetting is, and this comes back to you guys were just talking about a gacha game. There is a story of kind of like an office worker who a whole episode is dedicated to him, but like he was as a kid, he was obsessed with collecting erasers, but could never get his hands on the rarest eraser of all. And as an adult, he finds this animal gacha game and starts to spend all his time and money on it, wanting to get the rarest gacha ever. And then he thinks he has it, and then through a character interaction, Odakawa accidentally forces this guy to drop his phone into the water, and he loses that rare gacha, which completely shatters his whole existence. And that, you know, again, these aren't spoilers because this is like, that's like the fourth episode. This is all the setup to everything kind of coming to a head. So I would recommend it. I recommend this show to pretty much anyone. I mean, it's definitely not, it's not what you would expect from, you know, an isekai or a, anything. It's completely different. It's more like, it's more like an animated J drama than anything. But it's super interesting and serious and kind of really a really satisfying story. And also, there's a huge twist at the end, which you got to get there and figure out.
Sounds like a show up your alley. You almost spit out your drink. I wish people could have seen that.
Anyway, now that we've talked about,
would you say that it takes you for a ride?
It does. It does take us for a ride. Right into a ditch.
So you're saying it's a good show. Is that fair?
Now that we've talked about Weird Cat, Shannon.
Are you ready? I don't think y'all are ready.
Dick Fight Island.
He's ready because he doesn't want to hear me give another taxi pun.
My husband is sitting right behind me, and he's about to listen to all this, too.
Smart man.
He says, no, I'm not.
Tell him he has to listen to Dick Fight, all right? Dick Fight Island.
So, let's talk about Dick Fight Island. So, this is a very explicit manga, very a yaoi manga, by Rebun Ike. And the premises is actually quite simple. So there are a group of islands, and every 4 years these islands choose their warriors, male warriors, to basically fight each other.
What?
To basically fight each other to crown the ruler or the king of the islands. And this tournament.
And how would you describe these islands?
What do you mean, how would I describe the islands?
Like, what so, is there a specific moniker that these islands have? Is there something that they're known for?
Yes. So, like, for instance, you'll have, not necessarily the islands, but like the clans that inhabit each island. So you'll have like the Moon Clan or the Healer Clan. There's just a bunch of different types of clans, right? So our main character is Heart, and he is the member of the Jewel Clan. This island that he is on is of the most developed islands, so they do a lot of trading with outsiders. So the rest of the islands are very to themselves, and Heart went away to kind of study abroad. And he is the Jewel Clan's chosen warrior in the tournament in this particular year. So, the way that the fighters win their matches is to try to get the opponent to come first. Yes, you heard that right. Their goal is to basically jerk off their opponent until they come. And that's how they win their fights. Well, the first fight.
This is in your purchase history on some site, just remember.
This is in my purchase history. This is in my purchase history. So the very first fight is Heart versus Tailing of the Fang Clan. Now, Tailing is a very young character, and he's very inexperienced because his island is mostly female. So Heart surprises everybody in the first fight by winning because he masters this technique that nobody, none of the other members or none of the other islands or clans know how he did this and like how he made his opponent come first. No. So basically what Hart did was he massaged the prostate gland.
Wow.
So he revealed to the rest of the clans that there's something called a prostate gland. And if you massage this in your opponent's ass, you'll get them to come. And then, therefore, you will win the fight.
Holy shit.
So the rest, basically the rest of the story is the rest of the warriors, you know, obviously pair up with each other and they all fight and they all try to make each other come and what have you. And honestly, that's the story. And like half about like I would say halfway through. So I'm assuming there's going to be more than one volume. The way that it ended, so it gets to a point where the person that Hart trained with, like his roommate back wherever he studied abroad, his roommate comes to the island because he wants to confess his love to Hart. And he just, the idea of him being involved in this tournament and getting jacked off by other men apparently is very upsetting to him. So he comes to the tournament to try to find Hart. And he does. And, you know, they, you know, are like happy to see each other. And, you know, Hart doesn't, you think Hart's going to end up winning the whole tournament, but he actually doesn't. And it kind of has like a happy ending where like, you know, they're together.
That's
and
what it sounded like from the get-go. This show's all about happy endings.
Yeah, it's all about happy endings. But I think the funniest thing about this whole thing is it's got a lot of great like humor to it. So in order, if you're a man and to show your manliness, it's called the right to bear ass. So everybody basically wears assless pants or assless, you know, or thongs basically. And that's how you show other clan members that you are manly.
Scott's showing
and you're
his pussy
worthy
right
enough.
Now.
So you what?
Scott's showing his pussy right now.
he's trying to
balance things out.
The other ridiculous thing about this manga is the armor that each warrior fights with. So I would highly, you know, I would highly advise people Google this just because of how ridiculous it is. But be forewarned, it's very it's not safe for work. So, you know, they're fighting each other with their dick armor. They've got big old armor on their wangs and they're fighting each other, and that's honestly Dick Fight Island. But I will say that the artwork is very, very nice to look at. Like, it's very pretty.
I would hope
it's not like your typical. Well, no, because it's like, you know, when you think of yaoi, you think of like the first thing I think of is like yaoi hands. Like how it's just like the artwork is just so, it's usually terrible, but it's like laughably terrible. But the artwork actually is really, really nice, and it's very pretty. So they really obviously put a lot of work into this, and it's very graphic and it's very detailed. There are sensors in it, but the sensors really don't do anything.
Oh, is it the typical Japanese hentai like the manga sensors where they just put like a little black bar somewhere? You're like, you can't even fucking, it's not even doing anything.
Right, right. It's just a tiny little bar. It really doesn't do anything at all.
Would you say that this is a manga that will penetrate the market?
Of yaoi? Yes.
Is the armor more like a chastity belt or a cod piece?
More like a cod piece.
Okay.
It's definitely not a chastity belt-ish because their asses are just kind of hanging out. Just kind of free-flowing. And like they have, some of them have like upper body armor, but I mean it's kind of like a little bit of a joke, you know how when you see these men designing females with ridiculously scantily clad body armor. They just like cover the nipples and cover the crotch and then everything else is open. It's kind of like that, but reverse. So they'll have like, little pieces, like, covering just a very small part of their chest, and then the rest of their body is just out there, and then they've got, like, this huge dick armor.
So, is there any moment where somebody uses a strategy to trick another person?
Oh, absolutely.
So, you're saying they're a masturbator?
They are masturbators. Indeed. But it's as ridiculous as it sounds. It's as funny as it sounds.
Oh, I'm having fun with the puns here, so.
Yeah, I know you are.
I'm really coming up with a lot of them.
And then, you know, it's just, it is what it is. It's Japanese, it's yaoi, it's a fun, good time.
So the first volume definitely hit the climax?
Shut the fuck up, Mike.
I can't stop.
But anyway, I was, well, if there is a volume 2, will I get it? Probably not.
Oh, God.
Yeah, probably not.
Really?
No. It's a little too ridiculous. Oh, it's God. It was funny. It's funny, haha, you know, but it's there's no fucking story to
Would
it.
Would you get it at it's a con just... if the volume's like $5 or less?
No. Oh,
okay.
Probably not.
Oh, okay.
It's just, like I said, there's really no story to it. It's just extremely vulgar. Just for vulgarity's sake.
Oh, okay. Like, it was a fun one-time romp, and you're not doing it again.
Right. It's a fun one-time read-through, and I'm not exactly going to be donating to Goodwill, but I don't know. It's not going to be on my most read list or on my top shelf, top part of my shelf. But. So yes, that is the story of Dick Fight Island.
Wow.
Yeah, I think that's probably the most explicit thing we've talked about on here. You're welcome. You're welcome.
Well, I mean, we talk about your webcomic every week.
Well, yep, that's not explicit.
Speaking of your webcomic, Shannon, how can people find your webcomic?
People can find me and my webcomic. I'm on Twitter. Perfect Serenade, and you can find my webcomic on Tapas, Webtoons, and the webcomics app called Lucifer's Ace.
Nice.
Mike! Where?
I think it's
can
better.
Individuals find you?
I just can't stop with Scott's You can find me at g-nitro.com if you're looking for K-pop. You can find me on all the social medias. /GNITRO G Nitro, no dash on the social medias. How about you, Scott?
As always, you can read about cartoons, mostly from 2010 at otakuinterview.com. But you can follow me over on Twitter, where I will be, of course, posting lots of comments alluding to the failure of our American society and hopefully the soon rise of a communist utopia. Oh, no. Oh, no, my secret's been revealed. You can also watch me play video games. Watch me play the aforementioned Yakuza. Watch me speedrun Final Fantasy VI. I think the next thing I'm going to start grinding is Star Fox to get some high scores. So nice. You can follow me over at twitch.tv/GundamPilotsBattles.
Do a barrel roll.